Gene Hemrick here at the University of Notre Dame, and we are fortunate this morning, right under the chapel of our Sacred Heart, to interview Father Bob Pelton, CSC. It's a Holy Cross father who's done an extensive work in Latin America, and he will tell us what exactly is happening right now in his work, and hopefully this will inspire some of our young priests who might want to go down there to work to pursue that calling. Bob, what are you right now into?
Right now what I'm into is, of course, I'm still full-time at the university, both teaching and research. I have joint appointments in theology and also in the Kellogg Institute International Studies. And in the Kellogg Institute, my role is to concentrate upon the role of the Catholic Church in Latin America. Mm-hmm. And it's in that context that I was invited to be present at Aparecida, which is the location in Brazil where their major meeting took place last year, May of last year. And I was able to not only have that experience in Brazil, but also to build upon the earlier meetings that I've been at. I was in the last session of Vatican II with Cardinal Sunens, and then from there, of course, you had the Medellin Conference in 68, which was an attempt to follow through from Vatican II for Latin America. Then you had Pueblo in 79, which was the first visit of a new Pope, John Paul II, to Latin America. Then you had the Santo Domingo Conference, 1992. And this was the fifth general meeting of the Latin American bishops in Brazil, May of 2007. And so I was involved, invited to be part of the participatory process for that meeting. It was also at the meeting, the whole meeting, in the sense of, as a Vatican-approved journalist, I was invited into some of the sessions, had excellent opportunity for interviews. And as a result of that, we have coming out from the University of Scranton Press a couple of weeks from now, the first English commentary on Aparecida, with the participation not only of people of the U.S., but also Latin Americans. I'll say a word or two about that in a moment. And Aparecida was, I think, a good effort to stage a comeback from what had happened in Santo Domingo. Santo Domingo of 92, the difficulty was that, that there almost became a dual leadership. The Vatican was somewhat concerned about what might happen at the meeting, so they put in their own president, co-president, and co-secretary general, along with the president and secretary general elected by the Latins. There were some difficulties there, some problem regarding the process, etc. But Aparecida was really recovering from that, and a clear commitment to preferential option for the poor, a very definite move in the direction of a more inductive methodology of See Judge Act, which had been sort of put aside at Santo Domingo, which is very important, particularly for the Latin Americans. And then a much sharper awareness of the whole question of economic globalization, what that means for Latin America and for the larger world. The Latin Americans prepared the meeting very well. Basically, there were some shortcomings, but they had a good meeting. They've got their final document, and my book here is commentary on that final document. And in our book here, I think one of the important points is the emphasis upon what's called the Continental Mission. In other words, when in May of 2007, when the Aparecida was over, then they said, well, what do we do about it in terms of each country? Mm-hmm. And so they had about 12 months to determine what would be their process of application of Aparecida in their countries. That's the Continental Mission. Mm-hmm. That's what's being worked on right now. I fortunately have that basic document in this book also, mm-hmm. the document about the Continental Mission, what the expectations are. Just to say a few words about the folks who contributed to this, Bishop Ricardo Ramirez from Las Cruces, New Mexico, the challenge of a parasita for the church in the U.S. Then Virgilio Elizondo, a parasita in the Hispanics of the U.S. Then Gustavo Gutierrez, preferential option for the poor, and a parasita. Jose Marins, probably in Latin America, maybe the world, the most competent spokesperson for a small Christian communities, Brazilian, and his base communities and return to inductive methodology. Then Ernie Bartel, Notre Dame, a parasita in global markets. Then Jose Maria Iñiguez of Lima, Peru, economics, globalization, and parasita. And Javier was a Latin American economist that was chosen by the U.S. bishops to be a specialist when they prepared their own pastoral letter on the economy. Then Professor Margaret Feil of Notre Dame, analysis of the parasita document in terms of structural sin. And then Sergio Torres, parasita return from internal exile. Just briefly a word about that. What that really means is the so-called liberationists who had sort of been on the margin since Medellin 68 in Colombia were invited back in after a very careful process with the officials of Ceylon and also the their Indio theologians themselves. And they were present as consultants for a number of bishops. They were in the meeting hall, but they were officially invited. Any bishops who wanted to work with them were...
These would be persons who are in liberation theology.
That's correct. That's correct. And then after that, of course, we had a parasita and Pentecostalism in Latin America. That's where Father Ed Cleary, Providence College, Dominican, a fine spokesperson for that, what's happening in that issue. And then Daniel Levine, a future Essene from a parasita. Daniel Levine is one of the top Latin Americanists. He is the chair, and has been the chair of Graduate Studies Political Science, University of Michigan, and he's now firmly committed to Catholicism. So I think that the book itself, the commentary for those who are working in areas of Latin America for further study, analysis, understanding, this will serve as a real help. Plus the fact that the methodology and the way they did it and the implications of the way they did it, I think will and can contribute to the larger church in terms of careful planning, careful process, good follow-through, and so forth. So that's one thing I just wanted to share with you.
What was Ramirez the one who was interested in this application to the United States?
Who?
Ramirez?
Romero?
Ramirez.
Ramirez, yes, that's right. That's what Ricardo Ramirez.
Ricardo.
Yes, what Ricardo Ramirez from Las Cruces, New Mexico, the local ordinary there, what Ricardo has as a special interest is the use of good process in planning and in executing and then following through from there. And he thinks this has implications for the U.S., not only just in terms of the Hispanic issue, but rather more from the point of view in terms of how do you plan, how do you follow through in planning, what do you do with it? And I think the key thing for the bishops of Latin America, for me, is that they're the most conscious group that I know of in the larger church who have really tried to take step by step after Vatican II. And I really think that's very
fun. They've gone back to that old idea, it's not really old, to observe.
Judge and act.
Is that the process that they really are
inductive methodology, observe, judge and act, our old Catholic act in our earlier days.
Yeah.
They returned to that, and that had been present in the earlier meetings, and it was in a certain sense set aside in 1992 in Santo Domingo, but returned to that, which I think represents a Latin approach.
Mm-hmm.
And now what they do is they kind of add to that observe, judge, act, and then evaluate.
Ah.
and then celebrate, and then go back to your process again. So that that addition of those elements of evaluating and then celebrating, that's a special contribution of José Marins of Brazil. It makes a lot of sense. Because then you're going into a constant process, but you're also analyzing what happened, what did we do well, what did we not do well, and then have a fiesta, you know.
Celebrate.
Sure. And so that's very positive. And so, as I say, there were some snags and so forth, but on the whole, those have been overcome. It looked like the small communities had been downgraded for a bit in the meeting itself, and then it didn't really represent the larger thinking of the Latin American Church, and they had a meeting just in May of this year in Santa Cruz, Bolivia. The cardinal sponsored. He said, okay, what happened? What's happening in your countries regarding Central America, South America, in terms of small communities? What's happening? Let's get a larger picture. So that gave impetus and inspiration and support to the people who were involved in that. And so that was helpful. So that, I think, the follow-through element that the Latins are trying to act on is very important. I don't think we do enough of that in our own country.
That's interesting, your idea of celebrating. I give a lot of priest retreats, and one of the things I try to get across to them is that celebration really means to reflect back and absorb what has happened. So often we go from one thing to the next, and we don't really make something a real part of us. And as a consequence, we don't really enjoy its fruits. We are always moving on. And one other thing, the Comunidad de Bases, that's a big idea still right now.
It's still definitely present. It's present, you might say, in some new forms, but essentially it's there. And kind of part of the popular press from time to time say, well, it's gone, it's dead. So that's really not true. It is present. It may be less present in some areas than others, but I would say now that the communities, because I've read the reports of all the countries of Latin America in regard to the reality of communities in their own particular countries, and the fact is there's a lot more maturity present now, and it's it includes both the spiritual dimension and, you might say, social analysis. It's not just one or the other. It's those two kind of related to each other. So I think they are living. And
years ago, I did a study with Ronaldo Cruz on the Comunidad de Bases. We found that it was pretty prevalent in many parishes in the United States that are predominantly Espanol. Do you know anything more about that?
Well, I do know that it's definitely, certainly, particularly if they bring that from their own countries as they come up here as immigrants of one form or another. But I think the other thing is that even among Anglos in the U.S., Bill D'Antonio did a Lilly study a few years ago, you know, about the reality of the United States, and the essence of small communities is present in many forms throughout the U.S. right now. And so it takes its form and its expression within the cultural reality where it is. In other words, the U.S. expression is not, say, the way it would be in La Paz, Bolivia, or something like that. You have different, more immediate or more evident political situations. But in any case, it's a church from below, which is not excluding a relationship with the church from above. And you do have these different movements that are present in Latin America right now, too. But in any case, it's a question of lay involvement, which is obviously very important. And even moving into the role of catechists in Latin America now is very, very important. It's essential because even though there is an increase of vocations to the priesthood of the form that we know it now, the fact is that the Latin American Church would not make it without the lay bhikkhus, its catechists, these delegates of the word, who work sometimes under very difficult circumstances. Some cases, as in El Salvador, for one thing, become martyrs because of their commitment to the faith. And so the church in Latin America is alive.
Yeah.
It's got its challenges, just like our church in this country does. But it is alive, and I think it's endeavoring to deal with those challenges, particularly not only issue of base groups, but also the indigenous, and also environmental issues. When you, I went to regularly to the press conferences, and you see these pastoral bishops from, say, from Brazil, living in the Amazon, and how they'd almost cry when they talk about what's happening ecologically, and where the lungs of our whole world are right there. Place like the Amazon, and a much sharper awareness of the rights of the indigenous that comes out in the document, I think there's hope.
Mm-hmm.
Big challenges, but there's hope.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Sure.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Good. Great.